And welcome to A Woman's Heart. This is Lisa Granger. Have you ever worn yourself out trying to get everyone else's approval? Well, our guest today, Cheryl Lutz, knows exactly what that is like. The answer is finding our identity as a daughter of the King. Cheryl shares her experiences and her book, Securely Held, Finding Significance and Security in the Shelter of God's Embrace. Enjoy this conversation with Cheryl. Welcome to A Woman's Heart, Cheryl. I am looking forward to this conversation. We have Cheryl Lutz with us today, and I so enjoyed meeting Cheryl at the Christian Communicators Conference this past summer. So I am thrilled to have you on the show and get to know you better and talk about your new book.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa. This is fun.
Yes, you are very welcome. Now, Cheryl, like I mentioned, I got to meet you over the summer, but I would love for the fans to get a chance to know you a little better. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So I tell people I am a retired pastor's wife. My husband is 10 years older and he's semi-retired now.
Okay.
A retired pastor's wife, an author, speaker, and a recovering people pleaser.
So. Yes. Yeah. The recovery part is a long process.
Exactly. It takes time after years of patterns. But yeah, we live in North Georgia in a small town called Blue Ridge and Cabin. It's really fun. Our kids, we have four adult children, one bonus son, and I am a proud Mimi to Elle, Luna, and Yoda, two grand dogs and a grand cat.
Okay, I was going to say I'm hoping that is a four-legged fur baby named Yoda.
Right. Feel free to name their kid Yoda.
Yes. So now you have a new book out, Securely Held, but it has been a while in the making and there is far more to the book than the book itself. So there's always a story behind the story. And give us some of the background as to why you wrote this book.
Yeah. So about 11 years or so ago, I just came to a place of physical, spiritual, and emotional exhaustion just from trying to be all, do all, and keep everyone happy and, you know, striving for validation. I Christianized what I used to strive for validation before coming to Christ and being in ministry. And then I just transferred it into Christian service and still striving for approval. And just came to, like I said, spiritual, physical, and emotional exhaustion. And so I finally just started seeing a therapist to kind of work through a lot of the junk that was driving those unhealthy behaviors. And God started me on a healing journey. And as he did that, I believe he called me to write a book. It's just taken me a long time to obey and complete the project.
Yes. Well, and sometimes, sometimes when I've spoken to people, they've said that they kind of knew for a while, but it took some time because they also needed to grow. And that if they had gotten their ministry right off the bat, it may not have gone well because they hadn't healed well enough. They weren't strong enough. They weren't in a position to really sustain it. So God had to build the foundation first before he could really do that. So perhaps, you know, it wasn't meant to be 10 years ago because there would not have been a firm enough foundation built underneath it.
That's an excellent point, Lisa, because I did have a lot more healing to do and growing and learning the craft. You know, some women or men talk about how they knew from a very young age that they wanted to write a book and they would practice and write poetry and all the things. And it just, that was never something that crossed my mind till it did.
Yes. Well, they say never tell God never.
That's right. It doesn't work out. Yes.
No, it really doesn't. It's almost as if he goes, oh, really? Challenge accepted. Yeah. So I know I tell people I journal and mm-hmm. and we'll see, because I definitely, as I have been reading through your book, I can identify with a lot of the different feelings because, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, yeah, there's so much in the world and in the church that mm-hmm. really kind of tells the women that we are supposed to be there for everyone. We are supposed to serve. We're supposed to support. We're supposed to please everyone, do everything. And then the world tells us we're supposed to make it look easy and look good while we do it all. And
right.
it can very much be exhausting and it can really tangle us up. And can you tell us a little bit more about, you mentioned that what was driving it, because we've recognized that there's the worldly striving force, mm-hmm. what we would refer to as worldly striving, mm-hmm. you know, money and fame or something like that, or material goods. But as Christians, when we spiritualize it, oh, well, that's just being a good Christian, you know, volunteering. But there's still that lack of boundaries and there's lies underneath that. So can you talk to us a little bit about what drives that when we take mm-hmm. it too far?
Exactly. So what I came to realize that people-pleasing, carrying burdens that aren't ours to carry, mm-hmm. striving for validation, those are all symptoms, like you're talking about, of a deeper issue,
yes.
which is it's identity.
Mm-hmm.
And not just identity in Christ, but for me, it was understanding who I am as God's daughter and understanding God as a loving heavenly father. I got the righteous judge and the holy and all of that, which is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
But then that tender relationship, there was a disconnect and I didn't realize it. And so I was still striving to find that validation in things that are never going to satisfy, and you can never attain it. You know, it's what pleases people one day upsets them the next, you know, you
yes.
can never, it's a never ending battle, you know,
it and really
so,
is.
Yeah. Just coming back to understanding what God says about me as his daughter, because to understand who we are, we've got to understand who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And as we start studying that and looking at that, just layers, step by step, he starts bringing that healing and you walk with more confidence in who he created you to be.
Yeah, I think so, definitely. And I like that you pointed out learning about the character of God, because mm-hmm. he is a loving father. He's also a God of justice. He is also
yes.
a God of order, and he is also a God of mercy. And when you only look at one aspect of him, you can tend to get a little lopsided. When you
right.
have a little wonky view of God, then it's hard to have a healthy and full picture of who we are and our identity.
Absolutely. That's so true. And we can fall off in different areas.
Yes.
Only see him as judge, or we can only see him as, you know, our buddy, and
yeah.
not recognizing his magnificence and his holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And so bringing all, like you said, all those, and we can never understand the mind of God or we are finite, but we learn more by being in his word and in prayer and listen to the things, read what he said about his son, because through Christ,
mm-hmm.
we have that relationship and that access to the Father. So,
yeah, we do. And you mentioned a couple of times that part of your relationship with Father God
mm-hmm.
was affected by the relationship you had with your earthly father. And I know you made a point early on that it's not that your parents were horrible parents, but they did the best they could with their own dysfunction because
yeah.
they grew up in their things. And I think for me as a parent, it's like, okay, I recognize that, but I don't really want to totally grab hold of that because I know I've done things as I
yeah.
love my kids.
Yes.
And you're like, I did the best I could, but, you know, yes. I know that sometimes we make mistakes and we want to walk the line of honoring our parents, but mm-hmm. recognizing they weren't perfect. There were mistakes,
yes.
but we have a choice in how to to deal with that and how we can stop some things and yes. move on and make it better for the generations to come. But can you go into a little bit more about how, you know, those relationships with our father, with our earthly fathers, can definitely affect our identity and how we perceive our Heavenly Father?
Yes, exactly. And I appreciate the way you framed that, because like I say in the book, I'm not here to throw my parents under the bus, because yeah. my kids definitely do that to me.
And so, oh, yeah. I have a few track marks on my back.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, my dad was a product of his upbringing. You know, when he was 13, his father died. And
oh, that was tough.
Yeah, he wasn't able to process that the way, you know, you need to back then, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was. It was a different time. And to recognize that what was acceptable back then is how they are going to view the world, and give a little bit of mercy and grace that you're not going to see things the same way I do, because they grew up in a very, very different world with a very, very different mindset than we have.
Exactly. And so he had underlying hurt that was never dealt with. And so he self-medicated, and that, you know, came out in a very performance base for me, feeling like okay. I had to perform to a certain level to gain his approval. And it was easy to lose it. Mm-hmm. And without even thinking about it, we transfer that to God.
Yeah.
And so stepping back and realizing my earthly father was not perfect, but he did love me.
Yes.
But my Heavenly Father is, and we're not meant to learn everything about God based on our earthly father or earthly mm-hmm. mother, earthly relationships. It's through Christ and through the Word. My prayer now, because I made a lot of the same mistakes with my children before I got healing, because mm-hmm. what we do, we just pass it on. That's yeah. why I'm not... I don't yeah. want to be so
we
hard
swear,
on my dad.
I'm never going to do X, Y, Z. And then you have children.
right.
And you go, oh, no, I don't want to do this. But then there are times when you're like, but what else do I do? Or you just simply react, and you're so programmed in the habits that mm-hmm. you have, you just simply react. Or you do something and you're like, I did something the other day and I kind of went, wait a minute, where did that response come from? I'm like, I don't even know where that response came from. Fortunately, it wasn't with my children. But sometimes mm-hmm. we just kind of default. We go to a default mode that isn't always very healthy.
We do. And until we deal with our own pain and whatever unforgiveness, whatever we have buried, you know, below the surface, we just spill that out to the next generation. But yes. the praise God that as we work through, do the hard work and see that healing, then it's better
yeah.
for our kids, you yeah. know, and he promised the mistakes I did made. There's an Old Testament scripture that says that he will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Mm-hmm. And we can claim that promise for our own life and whatever we passed on to our kids. He came to bring healing. He came to set us free from these yeah. patterns.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he really did. And you mentioned at one point, you alluded to it here in the book, you talked about when we bury the trauma or the hurt or whatever, while it's still bubbling, it ends up coming out another way. And I'm reminded of, I think it was a Garth Brooks song. This is when you bury the hatchet, but the handle's sticking out and you keep tripping over it. Or I think it was Joyce Meyer said something about when feelings or emotions or events, stuff like that, when we bury it alive, it just keeps coming back up unless That's we fun. Really process it properly.
Yes, exactly. And I know for myself, I did a lot of minimizing and then move on.
Oh, you're talking my language. Yes. Minimalizing, rationalize. Oh, yeah. No. That's okay. It's not really on the surface anymore. We don't have to deal with it.
That's right. And we do, till you have, like I did, a crisis where you just fall apart physically, mentally.
Oh, my.
And spiritually, you know, then you're like, oh, maybe I need to look at some of this stuff that I've buried alive that has festered,
yes.
you know, under the surface. Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. It ends up coming back. And as much as we don't want it to, or as much as we bury it, sometimes we get really good at it, but mm-hmm. it still just comes out. It ends up coming out sideways on people that have no idea and had nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it. That's right. That's right.
You mentioned a lot about the people pleasing and the striving. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned at one point that you think it's an epidemic. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us some more about why you would use that term and how do you think that really affects everything and how we can change it?
Yeah, I see it's not just in the world, it's in the church.
Yes.
We really do not grasp who we are mm-hmm. as God's daughters, as his masterpiece, as his workmanship. We don't fully grasp that due to hurt or unforgiveness, various things in our background. Mm-hmm. And I see it as an epidemic. Women like myself just striving for that validation, striving through their accomplishments. Or I know for myself, I didn't understand how much of my identity was wrapped up in people liking me.
Okay.
And to step back and, it was one of my first therapists that helped me see that I had made people an idol, and that was the root of it.
Yeah.
And stepping back, looking at that, at first I tried to just slap a Bible verse on it, which was my mode.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Idolatry's wrong. Thou shalt have no idols before me.
And, okay. You know, therefore, I will not have any idols. Never mind
on.
That. Yes. Yeah, keep going.
No. Go back. Look at why. Why had I made people an idol? Why was it so important to be liked? I wasn't secure in my identity. Mm-hmm. And as we get to that point, and then the striving, Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship or masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand for us to walk in. Mm-hmm. So as soon as we understand who we are and whose we are, we realize he has it laid out for us. We can stay in our lane and walk confidently in the good works that he has laid out for us. We can say no to the rest. And when we do that, we just radiate the beauty of the creator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you mentioned wanting to be liked, and it occurs nobody sets out and wants to be disliked. We all like to be liked. It's a good feeling. Sure. It's when that becomes so much more important than setting boundaries or really standing up for what we believe in or speaking up for what we need. That's when it starts getting aloof. You know, if it's just a matter of, oh, okay, yeah, sure, I'll share something or whatever else, then that's calling to serve and to be nice. But then when we don't set the boundaries and we don't speak up for ourselves and we start doing it out of the need to please them versus just being able to give from the confidence that we know who we are and that we can give from that overflow. I know several times you also mentioned the lies that we believed and getting very good at minimizing or rationalizing. Because I think sometimes we take those negative thoughts and we just figure if we just stop thinking the negative thoughts, just stop doing that, then that's going to work. And they've shown that it doesn't work. Because, an example that I've used before that I remember reading, and I went, oh, well, that makes perfect sense. If I tell you, don't think about a blue elephant. You just thought of a blue elephant.
Exactly.
So if you're saying, oh, I'm thinking of this about myself and it's not true, but I'm going to stop thinking about this, it's like that's all you can think about. And also our brain wants to fill in the holes. So if we take that lie out, there's still a hole there. So how important is it that we replace? Mm-hmm. If I say instead of a blue elephant, think of a pink whale. Taking that lie and going, oh, wait a minute, no, this isn't true. So whenever I think this, let me then go to the truth. How important was it to replace, to recognize and then replace? And what were some of those verses, the lies to the truth that you did?
Yes. And the Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy. Think of such things.
Yes.
And so Christian speaker I was studying under one time, and she talked about frisking your thoughts against those words, from a Philippians 4:8.
Oh, I like that phrase, frisking your thoughts.
Yes.
I like that.
which is excellent. But like you said, when I was just doing that without replacing it, they just kept coming back, just kept coming back. And so opening up the word, you know, it talks about renewing our minds. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we talk a lot about transformation these days.
And yeah, we do.
And we see that transformation by being in the word and praying and reading God's thoughts about us and then looking at the lie. Okay, there's a hurt there, you know, that lie you're believing, maybe that you're unworthy.
Okay.
There was some kind of pain point there from your past, and just dig around a little bit and ask God, let's clean out this wound, because your word says that I am worthy through Christ.
Yes.
It's just renewing, replacing, as you said, and working through the lie, the hurt that's at the root of it.
Yeah. Was there a particular verse, especially while you were writing this book, that you really kept coming back to that helped you replace that?
The verse that he brought me to that is the book is based on is Deuteronomy 33:12. And it's when Moses was blessing the 12 tribes of Israel. And it says about Benjamin, he said, let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields him all day long. And the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders. And seeing that word beloved, that seemed so much deeper to me than just saying that God loved me, that I was beloved of the Lord. You know, it says it right there. And that all the insecurity that I struggled with for so many years, and it says, let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him. You know, we are secure when we understand who we are. And, you know, rest. It's hard to rest when you're fearful and don't feel secure.
Yeah.
Your mind can't rest. Your body can't rest. But going through that verse and just soaking in those truths.
Yeah.
And it says, beloved of the Lord, rest secure in him, for he shields them all day long. He's shielding us. He's protecting us. For the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders. And that's the picture of the good shepherd with the lamb resting between the shoulders. And that's what I base my ministry, securely held. We're securely held by our Heavenly Father.
And it is. It's a beautiful picture of just of being held and carried and being able to rest and go, okay, I can't do this right now. And it kind of brings to mind the footprints poem that's very popular, that, you know, you see the two sets of footprints. And then during the most difficult times, you're like going, wait a minute, there's only one set of footprints. Where were you? And he's like, oh, that's when I carried you. It's not that you were walking by yourself. That was when I was carrying you. And I know that there have been times when I have visualized just, you know, okay, just hold me, you know, give me a hug. And it's very peaceful. But it goes beyond just imagining, having an imaginary friend. I think it goes far beyond just, you know, imagining something, because we can imagine a lot of different things. And trust me, my imagination doesn't always come up with a nice scenario.
You're right, Lisa. Yes.
So,
mine either. Yeah.
Especially as a mom. So I can go zero to all sorts of stuff and nothing flat. But being more than just that, imagining him there, really feeling his presence and resting in, as you put, that security. And that is just a beautiful picture.
Yes. And just like you said, his presence, he has promised he'll never leave us or forsake us. You know, we cannot, there's nowhere we can go to flee from his presence. So even when you can't feel it, we can believe it and ask him to restore that understanding.
Yes, indeed. Now, I know you have written before, you've written articles and some other things, but this is your first book. So how different was that, writing the book versus just an article or something?
It was a long process for me, since, you know, I had to learn how to form and structure and how to organize a chapter well, you know, and these things, which was really good. And I had a writing coach that would really help draw me out. Like she'll say, okay, you said you're describing, like, say, your son's birth. She said, how did you feel? I was like, oh, it's not just, you know, facts.
Yeah. Just not the facts.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you need to be relatable. Your reader needs to be able to trust you. And so learning things like that and just sitting down and writing and being in it for the long haul. It's definitely a discipline, but it was already also very cathartic rewriting and some of the stories from my past, because there is a personal story in each chapter, and it was another layer of healing.
Yeah.
But there were times I had to walk away from it. I needed some time, you know.
Oh, I can imagine some of those stories did bring up quite a bit, which was good and healing. And then also in a lot of ways, being able to present it from the rearview mirror.
That's
with
right.
The perspective and being able to, I think it was early, being able to write from the scar and not the wound.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
There's a big difference between writing with that perspective, looking back, versus really kind of writing in the midst of it.
That's very true. Very true. So, articles, you know, you have your rubric and you can get it done. You know, a book's just going to take a little longer, but now that it's said and done, and as hard as it was really a blessing, and I'm probably going to do it again. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I will look forward to that. Yes. So now you mentioned your ministry is also Securely Held. That's the name of the book, but you have a ministry as well. So briefly tell us a little bit about your ministry.
Yeah. So I have a podcast called Secure in God's Embrace.
Which I have listened to.
Thank you. Yeah. So interview women, let them share a story. Then we'll look at a Bible character. That's the same way the book is laid out. And then look at personal application to our lives. And so, yeah, through writing, speaking, through the, I love, you know, speaking to different women's groups on identity, and especially the Ephesians 2:10 on we are God's workmanship and what that means. It just really help. I say I help women break the power of other people's opinions.
Because it's a powerful thing.
It's a stronghold, and find that rest and security in God's embrace.
Yeah, so. It really is. Well, I know it took a lot for you to step out. And as you mentioned, it took a while for you to be obedient. What would you say to encourage someone else to go ahead and step out and do whatever that thing is that God's nudging them to do?
Yes, I just want to really encourage you. There is healing on the other side. And it is such a blessing when you are walking in your purpose. And everybody says, what's my purpose? I got to discover my purpose. Your purpose is to walk in the good works He's laid out for you.
Yeah.
You know? And He's got that path for you. It may not be a book. It may be a book. It may not be a podcast or a speaking. Maybe it's just starting to share with those in your circle what Christ has done for you. That's what the woman at the well did. You know, she just ran back to all her people.
Yeah.
Come see a man who told me everything I ever did, you know, and then they believe for themselves. And there's just power in story. We see the stories in scripture and how God used them in the lives of people.
Yeah.
Our story doesn't change a heart. God's word changes the heart, but it draws people in and shows them the healing and hope can be theirs as well. So
yes, it does. Well, good words. And Cheryl, if somebody wants to connect with you, find your book, what is the best way for them to connect with you?
Yeah, my website is CherylLutz.com. Okay. And so there's information there about the book and about some of my biblical counseling services I do. I'm a lay counselor on the side. And then there's some free resources. One's called Shattering the People-Pleasing Idol.
Oh, yes.
And there's a free devotional based on the book. It's a 5-day devotional. Yeah. And social media, I'd love to connect on Instagram or Facebook, Cheryl Lutz, Securely Held.
Okay. Well, we will encourage them to do that and include those links in the show notes. So Cheryl, thank you for spending some time with us today. And I wish you continued success. I know your book launched number one in its category. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes. And I think it will touch a lot of people and help a lot.
Prayer.
So thank you so much for stepping out and doing that and then spending time with us today.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for joining me today on A Woman's Heart, where we offer hope, encouragement, and real-life application to walk closer with God. I would love for you to follow me on Facebook at Lisa Granger, A Woman's Heart, and follow me on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss any episodes.